back to Timaru, and in particular to this place, to this church, which is kind of like a home church. Often when I was meant to be doing something else or be somewhere else or at school, I would come across, and my seat was right there. I would come and sit there because I figured if anyone came in to look for me, they couldn't see me hiding around the corner. I remember coming in one morning a bit desperate before some school exams. I was across at St. Pat's and coming in and sitting there in that seat and praying, really praying. Didn't work, so. But anyway, it was a good place to be, and it's good to be here today. You know, I was thinking that we're very limited in what we can do in terms of celebration of the liturgy in these lockdown days, because we're only allowed a limited number of people. But many of you remember the days when this church was filled many times on a Sunday. There were a lot of people. I think then we used to think we were really strong, like we could fill this church two or three times. Now, the 60s were really right at the beginning of my memory, but Father Ratzinger, who later became Cardinal Ratzinger, then Pope Benedict, in the 1960s, when things were strong and churches were full, made a very wise prediction. He said that in our lifetime, the church is going to get very, very small. We will no longer be able to inhabit many of the institutions that we have built. These will be difficult and trying days for the church. But it's really not a problem, because our job is not to be big. It's to be faithful to Christ. So he spoke about this in 1969, that was. He spoke about this not with desperation and what are we going to do, how are we going to rebuild an institution, but with great hope. Because from very small numbers, always in the history of the church, of faithful people, new life comes in remarkably unexpected ways. You know, part of the problem in the readings today, both this reading and the gospel reading address this, is we in the church tend to make the serious mistake of thinking of ourselves as an organization. So we've got to get organized. We've even got the sacrament of order to help us to get organized, we think. We think we're building an organization that's got roots and clubs and there's people who come along not only on Sundays but on other days as well, and we look strong. But as Cardinal Ratzinger and he as Pope Benedict and Pope Francis repeatedly tells us, it's not the job of the church to be big. What we're called to do is to be faithful, not to be an organization, but to understand that because we are followers of a living Christ, we are therefore, again, not an organization, but an organism. A living body. Of course, St. Paul speaks about us as the body of Christ. Now, the one characteristic that organisms have that we try to get rid of in organizations is that organisms are messy. Is your family an organization or an organism? Well, it's an organism, isn't it? It's messy, and there's fights, and there's disagreements, and there's tensions, and there's hopes, and there's parties, and all of this, because it's a living body. That's what the church is like. And both before Christ and that wonderful reading from the Old Testament, here are people who are prophesying in the name of God, but they're not part of our organization. So what do? We stop them. And they come to Jesus in the gospel reading today and they say, Master, there are people who are preaching in your name. And Jesus says, what did you do? He said, we stopped them. What? Because they're trying to be an organization. They're trying to be organized. And they're not part of our club, therefore. What are we doing when we do this? When we try to get so organized? We're killing the Spirit of God among us. You see, the way that the church grows, like the organism, is messy and is not in straight, direct lines. I was thinking of this recently You may have heard of the poet who lived in Italy 800 years ago, which is before most of you were born. His name is Dante Alighieri. And his greatest work was what is known as the Divine Comedy. And it begins with Dante, the poet, lost in a wood. He's in the middle of his life, and he's lost in this wood. He wakes up, he doesn't know where he is. And then he sees the mountain that is paradise. There's paradise, there's heaven, that's where I want to go. So he tries to head off in that direction, and some wild animals stop him. And then along comes the poet Homer and says, I'm going to be your guide. But if you want to go there to paradise, the way is here through hell. And so that wonderful story of the Divine Comedy is of a poet leading Dante to paradise through hell. Now, that does remind us, doesn't it, of the life of Christ. So Christ leads us to resurrection. How does he go? Through suffering, death, and crucifixion. We're not people who like suffering. We're not people who wish for it. We're people who acknowledge that every human person who has ever lived has suffered. And our faith is what gives that suffering meaning and purpose, and what brings us hope in the midst of the suffering. And this is why the Christian faith is more relevant now than ever, is more necessary now than ever. We are not people who follow a wise teacher called Jesus of Nazareth. We are people among whom Jesus is present, alive, and active. God with us here and now, in the midst of the messiness of life. When things happen that we don't want to happen. We're people who kind of understand that if we want to go there, and that's where we're all aimed for, much of the time it's going to feel as though we're walking in the other direction. I'm not sure how this seems to you, but it brings me a great deal of hope. I want to just finish by making a mention of the fact that most of the time when I was growing up in Timaru, this wasn't my parish church. It was St. Joseph's across in Douglas Street. And then St. Thomas's opened. We had a number of great priests, not only here, of course, the Maoists, but across there as well. And one of those priests was a great storyteller. He died this morning, Frank Kelly. Frank had been ill for a while, and he was very ready to meet God. As a teenage guy, as a young kid, I remember Frank's stories. Some of you, I can see on your faces now, you remember these stories, don't you? And I remember that after the Sunday, people would still be saying, did you hear the story that Frank told on Sunday? Frank was a great storyteller. May he rest in peace. You see, this is our story. Our story is if we want to go to paradise, and we do. If we want to walk with Christ, and we do. We're going to walk with Christ through suffering, through difficulty, through worry. This is our story. I had a beer a few weeks ago with a friend who's a bit older than me, and he says, John, I think we've forgotten our story. What's the story? What's the story? At first I thought he was just asking me that. What's the story question? But he was saying, no, what is the story? What is our story? This is our story. Paradise through suffering, death, and crucifixion. That's our hope. So how do we do this? All we do is realize that we're not a neat, tidy organization. We are an organism living the body of Christ. And all we have to do is not stick to a method, but stay with the person of Jesus Christ, who is God with us. I find this very hopeful. Do you? Great. Let's stand and profess this faith.